prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the Studio Gym, we're exclusive.
Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. During the first hour, we'll be performing our Trans-Evolutionary Fitness Radio Show with my co-host, Ken O'Neill. Are you there, Ken?
I sure am. How are you today?
It's nice when things work the way they're supposed to. I'm doing great. I really am. I've had a couple good nights sleep under my belt now that my neck problem is starting to subside. But I tell you the truth, it's really made me rethink. I've taken pause at 56 years old about how I've been training myself into the ground, and I think I'm going to be looking at some major changes in the way that I train. And we have a great guest on the show today to kind of bounce those ideas around with. Why don't you introduce
him? You'll actually have more, Carl, with the Trans-Evolutionary Fitness book that I'm working on right now. We're going to take a step forward in how we regard training.
That's awesome. That's very, very awesome.
Completely outside of the box of right now. I think much more realistic. Today's guest is known as Dr. Squat. Why is that? Well, because at about 250-pound body weight, give or take 5 pounds, he made the first official squat of over 1,000 pounds, which was about 4 times what he weighed. And that was in competition. He's called doctor because he is a doctor, a PhD doctor in psychology. And trying to encapsulate Fred in a few words is impossible unless we use the term Renaissance man. He embodies that spirit of a passion for the complexities of things we can learn, know, and implement. Author of many books and more to come. And I don't know quite what else to say. Fred, fill in the blanks. Good morning.
Renaissance man. I like that. All that means is that I have so many things running around in my brain that I'm confused.
I know that feeling.
I'm glad to be here, fellas.
So what do you have, Fred? Tell us about your books.
Tell us about your books.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, over the course of my career, I've written, I don't know, I stopped counting at about 70 books. And a bunch of them are still very popular, but they're out of print. So I decided to take the bull by the horns and reprint a bunch of them, republish them, I should say. But in the process of, so there are a bunch of them are going to be coming out again very soon. I've already gotten two out, bodybuilding, hardcore bodybuilding, and also one on ultimate sports nutrition. But a new book just came out that I've been playing with for a long, long time. I finally got tired of playing with it, and I gave it to a buddy of mine, a guy by the name of Josh Bryant. Many of your guests, your listeners may know Josh. He's a pretty famous fella in his own right, with his strongman feats and powerlifting feats. He was the youngest guy ever to bench press over 600 pounds. Stuff like that. The guy is just an amazing character. And he has his master's in exercise physiology. So I gave him the book, and I said, I'm tired of playing with this here. Dress this thing up, and let's publish it. And he did. And he did a beautiful job of a book that I had previously written. Called Scientific Dumbbell Training. I've seen maybe a dozen books on dumbbell training out there over the years, and none of them really captured the essence of the importance of dumbbell training. I personally think dumbbell training is the ultimate form of weight training. And so anyway, that's what the book is all about, dumbbell training.
I've got some questions here, and I hope I don't derail things for you, Ken, so just shut me up if I do. But, you know, I'm 56 years old now, Fred, and obviously that's still young enough to still be doing the things that I'm doing. But I had a major injury last year in 2013, right before the Olympia, tearing both the bicep, femoris, and semitendinous muscle attachments off the left hamstring, and I opted not to get surgery. I have been able to regain my squat strength, and while I haven't been deadlifting per se, stiff leg deadlifts, I've been using some pretty heavy weight and doing things like hip thrusts and so on. But I'm at a point in my life where I'm starting to think more about finishing the race than perhaps how strong I can be. And I'm wondering if you, now that you've gone, you know, you have this dynamic range of experience into even into latter life, how you view training as a prescription for longevity instead of just all out strength acquisition?
Well, it's called quality of life, Carl. You know, I think you've finally begun to realize that at your tender young age, that you know, life is not all about lifting heavy weights. It's about having a good, healthy life, having and enjoying yourself and being relatively injury-free and disease-free.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited about Ken's new book because he's going to touch on that a lot. I'm sure, you know, Ken's famous for one of his little phrases, 1 + 1 + 1 equals greater than 3.
Right.
So I like that. And so as you get older, you start to recognize that there are things in life that are a lot more important than just training. And I learned that myself, and I went through sort of a crisis in personal identification.
Right.
Because
we identify with our strength, and yeah, all of a sudden it's like you have to kind of put the ego in the back seat and go, well.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to do. And in fact, you're going to find, I believe, in fact, I strongly believe, that once you take your ego and put it in the back seat, as you put it, and keep your ego completely away from controlling your life, which it does for most people, you're going to find that living in the moment instead of in the past or in the future is a lot more fun and a lot more productive, and you'll get a lot more done of quality and substance in your life.
Ken, the Tao talks about ego. In Buddhist cultures, we know that they discuss the ego as not only a necessary part of the human condition, but a conflicting part of the human condition. So how does that ideology and physical culture merge to create a better physical culturist?
That's a really, really interesting question. Now, the Taoists and the Buddhists do, and the Brahmanic people all talk about what we can call ego. So do our sociologists. And I like what the sociologists have done with what they call the socially constructed sense of self. Now, where the Indian and Chinese traditions don't go very far is they don't really say where that ego comes from. Whereas the sociologists have done a good job of saying who we think we are is a product of our conditioning. Mm-hmm. Our conditioning at home, our conditioning at school, amongst our peers and friends, church, a number of sources. We sort of loosely form this idea of who we are. And then you reach midlife, you have an event, be it a torn hamstring, be it cancer, be it a heart attack, be it whatever. And what you face is, who am I?
Right.
The game that we've played, the rules that we've lived by, the guiding image of ourself is suddenly not entirely valid, and we don't have a map, we don't have a compass to direct us to next steps.
Mm-hmm.
Some people call this a midlife crisis. I think there's actually more to it than just midlife.
Well, I got to tell you something. If midlife for me is 56, that means I'm going to live to be 112. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, but what you're going to do for the next 56 years?
Well, I'm changing.
Yeah,
I am changing, right.
Because the emotions that are involved in this, Carl, and what Fred just asked is really an emotional question. when you hit that bump and you have to remap, you have to redesign, you have to reconfigure, you have to re-understand what it is you're doing, what your expectations are, not just in training, but training is an aspect of the L word, life.
Yes, yes. You, and the first thing that you have to realize, building on what Ken just said, is that you have to recognize right from the very beginning who you are. And one thing for certain is that you are not your ego. That is not you.
So the ego, I mean, and lots of cultures, including sociology, psychology, they address the ego as being something that we develop. It's an affront. It's an armor. It's what we show to the world to protect ourselves from being hurt, so to speak.
Well, it's bivalent. It has pluses and minuses. It's important to have ego strength. Carl Jung regarded the journey into understanding yourself as something that only should occur with midlife, because up until that point, you don't have the ego strength to handle what's going to come at you. We need that to have our normal social adjustment, to make our way through the games, the melodramas, the furnitures of the world. But at the same time, we've grown in a culture, and I think it's true of any culture, in which the dominant social taboo is a taboo against knowing who you really are. The inner journey begins at that point where we have to ask, who am I? And at that point, from my vantage point, I don't think faith offers you a whole lot, because your faith is going to crumble at this point. You need to cultivate doubt. You need to become a walking question mark. You need to get a grasp on what you really know, unshakably know.
See, but the problem, you know what the problem
is? A lot of the crap falls away when you do that, you become freer.
The problem with it is, this is a very, very painful process, and most people shy away from pain, and that's the point where, instead of getting on this boat and taking this journey to unknown paradise, or potentially disastrous situations, they opt instead to numb themselves to life through drinking and other risky behaviors. I see why guys who go through midlife crises do some of the things that they do. I had a therapist that was very, very intelligent when I was in my 20s, when I first started to seek being a better version of myself. And he used to say to me, you know, you got to be careful about trying to stay busy for the sake of being busy, because you're just staying in front of your problems. You're not acknowledging them. And that pain is growth provoking. So trying to avoid that pain by doing other things keeps you stunted from growing.
I'm going to make the wild claim that that's a culturally conditioned statement. That's a statement truer of Western culture than not.
What is that? Pain is growth provoking?
The growth is pain provoking. We are equipped.
No, pain is growth provoking. When you're, he used to use the analogy, if you're sitting.
We have to growth with pain.
No. We have to take this break. Let's stay with the growth and pain topic when we come back, okay?
Go for it.
Let's just stay with this. Stay tuned. We're talking with Fred Hatfield, Dr. Fred Hatfield, also known as Dr. Squat. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Everyone knows how important staying hydrated is for your health, but have you ever thought about what's in the water you're drinking? Truth is, it's not good. Stop second guessing and get the Clearly Filtered Pitcher Filter and drink with confidence, knowing that your water is pure. Clearly Filtered water filters eliminate dozens of harmful contaminants that can keep you from achieving optimal hydration and peak performance. Don't put up with mediocre water. You deserve better. Click the Superhuman Radio banner ad now and get an exclusive SHR package discount and free shipping.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair. And they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters. As small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get two bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic raw EVOO for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
During the second hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Sarah Trainer to talk about the effects of stigma on the perpetuation of obesity. Right now, this is Transevolutionary Fitness Radio with my co-host Ken O'Neill and our special guest, Dr. Fred Hatfield. Okay, so let's get back on this for a second. I want to clarify. Jerry Katz, who really was a profoundly generous individual when I was a very young man, used to say that pain is growth provoking. And the analogy he would give is, look, if you sit in a chair and it gives you a backache every single day, you'll go find another chair to sit in. And I thought that was really good. To your point, Ken, that bliss promotes growth, I would say bliss promotes the validation that you're on the right path. While if pain can be growth promoting, because pain indicates not that you're doing something wrong, but that that shortly you'll be finding something that you're going to do right to correct it. That's why when I have difficult situations in life, I don't feel like I'm standing at the opening of the abyss waiting to fall in. I look forward and go, something great is going to happen, because every time I have a difficult situation in my life, I find a remedy that takes me to the next level.
Right. Where I would go with that is perturbances of a painful type are real important in our culture. Our culture has emphasized meaning and guilt. If you don't have meaning, you're guilt. It really, really came across strong in the 20th century was in the philosophy called existentialism, which was an artifact of the modern period of everything being matter and atheistic and so on. And their belief was that a deep analysis shows that life is absurd, literally absurd, has no roots, has no meaning. At which time the philosophers were overwhelmed by a sense of nausea, as Jean-Paul Sartre called it, and most of them plunged headlong into totalitarian causes. They needed that something that gave their sense of meaning and validity to their life. Now, when you go off to other parts of the world, including original Christianity and early Judaism, they held just the opposite. That when you get to that point of identifying with full emptiness, the world opens up to you. Mm-hmm. You're no longer consumed by looking over your shoulder. Have you done something wrong? Are you guilty? Do you have to have meaning? They instead recognize that the meaning is something that you create out of your doing, out of your activity, which defines the character of your life.
Interesting. What do you think?
So, and for those people, the value is play, not meaning. And play can be perturbed by pain, and it can be attracted by moments of bliss that are greater than anything you've ever experienced, which becomes a motivator to step into that body, into that self.
What do you think, Fred?
I agree with that, and I'll say something else. You know, your show is called Trans-Evolutionary Radio. Okay. What do you actually mean by trans-evolutionary? To me, the picture that I get is that man is evolving, and the next evolutionary step that man is going to make, and I feel fairly certain about this, is not in the realm of his physical being, but in the realm of his consciousness.
Yep.
Because more and more people are finding out that that you are not your ego. And there's a very simple proof of that. You can do it right now. Just quiet yourself down and step outside of yourself and look down at yourself while you are thinking. That person who is able to look at you while you're thinking, and the things that you think and the things that you are doing, that person is you. Not the physical self, not the ego, not the day-to-day operations of staying alive, but the person who can look down at you. A deeper consciousness is the next evolutionary step.
So let me make sure I understand this exercise. So what you're saying is if I close my eyes and quiet myself, and basically some people will say imagine, but whatever you want to call this task, I can visualize looking down at myself. I can see what I'm wearing. I can see the top of my head. I can see me sitting at this microphone talking right now. Just by virtue of the fact that I'm able to do that indicates an ability to disconnect from the physical self and step outside, period. End of story. Whatever you want to call that outside.
Or step within. Not outside, but within.
Really?
There's more to it.
Yeah.
And it seems such a simple
outside,
task.
When you made that step outside, you stepped into not only the ability to look, see, but to feel calm, detached, and at peace.
It seems like such a simple task. Am I making light of it?
No.
No, it is a simple task. And you're going to find that as you do this, it's going to be easier for you to do it, and it'll become, over the course of time, your preferred mode of being.
Absolutely. Just think of the person who has to fall on their face in midlife with some painful incident and is bereft of a compass, of a map, of guiding instructions about what to do next. You know, how do I recover from this? What do I go forward to regain health? Sanity, emotional peace. We have not been raised and educated in terms of the flexibility and abundance of our consciousness. We have this restricted, demeaned, debilitated, diminished sense of self that when it hits that wall, doesn't know how to renew ourselves. We don't know how to renew ourselves. So my claim with trans-evolutionary fitness and I'm using fitness in a holistic sense of body, mind, spirit, is that we don't hit those walls. We're trained from the get-go to continue to grow, expand, become fuller, bigger versions of ourselves. Not something that's fantasy, not something that's artificial, but something that's intrinsic, something that's natural, something that just has not been developed as important as life-sustaining within our culture.
And let me add to that, Ken, but with a little story of my own personal experience. I competed in powerlifting. At least that's what people say that I did. But actually, I never did compete. I was never in competition with anybody. Because I didn't even compete with myself. All I knew was that, you know, my training, which was very purposefully done, and I was, you know, a stickler for doing things carefully and completely and leaving nothing to chance. Well, so I put my hands on the bar, and at that point, I was outside of my body, or, you know, outside of the realm of thought, let's put it that way, where there was no pain, where there was no chalk dust blowing in my face or sweat streaming down my face, or the crowd, the roar of the crowd was not a part of my thinking. All of those things were there, but I was in a completely different place. A lot of athletes refer to that place as the zone.
The zone, right.
And call it what you want to call it. Jesus called up the kingdom. Simple as that.
We've had Frank Zane on. We've had Michael Murphy on. We've had Marty Gallagher on, all of whom have talked of this similar experience. And my contention is the zone is where we're aiming at living with our next step of evolution.
I'm ready for this new journey. I got to be honest with you. I'm primed for it. I've made peace with it. I'm ready to grow. And I don't mean physically. I mean, I'm ready to grow as a person.
You're going to be amazed at what happens.
I'm looking forward to being amazed, Fred. I'm looking forward to this part of the journey. I really am. I'll finish this thought on the other side of the break. Stay tuned. If you want to learn more, sorry about that. If you want to learn more about Ken O'Neill, go to transevolutionaryfitness.com. We'll be right back.
Benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Do you want freakish muscle gains? Freakmaker Build from AAEFX is a scientifically engineered post-workout formula that combines protolan, whey isolate, whey concentrate, milk isolate, casein and egg, quality protein sources with carbolin, free alkaline and medium-chain triglycerides, a 2-to-1 carb-to-protein ratio to optimize post-training recovery and repair. Freakmaker Build delivers 58 grams of fast-absorbing carbolin to replenish glycogen stores and 1.5 grams of Cre-alkaline pH-buffered creatine monohydrate. Get Freakmaker Build today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AAEFX banner ad. Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. AgeForce introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
You've already heard the hundreds of testimonials about how well the AgeForce Fat Burner Patch works. Now it's even better. AgeForce has added the powerful appetite suppressor, Hoodia. So now, while your body's in high gear burning fat, you'll have an easier time sticking to your diet. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AgeForce banner ad today to get a buy one, get one free for a limited time. What do you have to lose other than body fat?
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carved your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com and enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Trans Evolutionary Fitness Radio. With my co-host Ken O'Neill, we're joined by Dr. Fred Hatfield. I was really being sincere when I said going into the break. Oh my goodness, I'm getting a call from heaven. I was really sincere when I said I'm ready for the next part of this journey. As I've shared with Ken off the air, watching my father pass away brought my own mortality front and center, and then losing my sister shortly thereafter. And the fact that I'm kind of the last man standing in our little family has really made me, for lack of better terms, let's say melancholy and sad. But the reality is, one of the things that I really want to achieve is I want to achieve a mindset that enables me to continue this journey without fear of my own mortality and without sadness, which has really reigned on me since my dad passed away.
Mm. Well, you're gonna get your brain completely filled with some good information when Ken finishes that book, because I know that Ken is going to talk about nutrition. I know he's going to talk about the critical need for working out, and of course the critical need for tending to spiritual matters in your life. Now, I made a comment just a little bit ago where I told you that in preparing to do my lift, I left nothing to chance. And so that has got to become an automatic thing in your life. The food that you eat has got to be real food, not manufactured or adulterated, you know, and your training. Let me put it this way. Stop thinking in terms of getting bigger and getting stronger. And you should even stop thinking in terms of trying to be fit. Just keep your body in perfect condition. In regards to what it was meant to do. Your body was meant to run. Your body was meant to lift things and throw things and jump and do all the other things that you might have to do if you didn't have a comfy home to live in.
Right.
And had to go hunt for your food and so forth. You know, and you used the word play blithely, I'm sure, because to me, that's what life is supposed to be. Everything that you do, do it the best that you can and have fun doing it and experience the joy of doing things in a perfect manner. And don't worry about it if you don't do it right. You know, if you miss the mark, the next time you won't miss the mark.
Ken. And who cares if you miss the mark or not? The point is you're playing.
Yeah. Enjoy
that
yourself.
That entrains a whole different neurology. That your brain is pumping whole different kinds of hormones when you do that. I mean, we can go into the science of it, but in a lot of ways, I'm objecting to justifying everything with the science because it's like saying, do this because it's good for you. Yeah. The more I look at evolutionary biology, we, you know, survival of the fittest is how we promote things, and we promote it as if we're at war with life. That's not the expression from Darwin. It's survival of the fittest through what? Sexual selection.
Mm-hmm.
That's underscoring bliss, which includes orgasms, which includes sexuality.
There's very few things on this planet that are more fun than sex, let's be honest.
Yeah, but we disassociate from that. I think everybody should be required to read at least one of Henry Miller's books, like Tropic of Cancer, to get an idea of the normal human stream of consciousness being super saturated with sexuality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why? Because that's life with a capital L. Now, I don't want to demean or reduce everything merely to sex, but to say that we're hardwired for play. We're hardwired for pleasure. And we need to take account of our lives on those terms. What is the aside from chronic degenerative diseases caused by crappy diet and inactivity, what's the other major contributor to disease and suffering and angst in our culture? Stress.
Yeah. And it's all about stress.
Apparently, we have episodic stress at most. A saber-toothed tiger may have been in your neighborhood that scared the bejeebers out of you, or that you may have seen an antelope that looked like dinner. But today, we're prisoners of a mindset I forget the word.
But you know why that is, Ken?
A haunting of stress.
You know why that is? Because from an evolutionary perspective, it was important for us to know what the threats were in our environment. We gravitate to knowing what the threats are. But now, because of mainstream media, the internet, all we get fed now is threats. We hear about the threat of our government and issues. We hear about the threat about of our economy. We hear about the threat about terrorism. We hear the threat about it. Somebody once said to me, why is the news always negative? And I said, that's because people are interested in what threats are in their environment. The news knows that. The news knows if they had instead of CNN, they had HNN, Happy News Network, they'd have one person watching it. Because people are like, I don't have to worry about the stuff that makes me happy. I got to worry about the saber-toothed tiger and the threats in my life.
I noticed that years ago. If you watch, we're about a month away from it, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, you're going to see the news undergo a transformation in which all sorts of compassionate, beneficent, wonderful things are expressed by people to other people for that season. And I've long wondered, what would it be like to have a network that broadcasts that kind of news regularly? Well, for one thing, who'd vote? Who'd care about the monkeys who are running for office?
Right.
And all that melodrama there, of fear-based melodrama that they're stuffing at us.
I agree.
I wonder, Ken, do you watch television at all?
Yeah.
Do you have any favorite shows? Do you watch the news? I'm serious.
Well, sometimes I need to nap, so
yeah.
I'll sit in a recliner chair and put on 48 hours.
See,
you know 48 hours?
Yeah.
The first 48 hours?
Yeah.
They
usually
cut.
They do shows. There's a lot of police officers here in Louisville, Kentucky, that are on that show. I didn't know.
Houston, Texas, Harris County is probably up for an Emmy Award.
I know.
But do I watch real TV? No, I watch a lot of video.
Okay. When I watch television, I gravitate to funny things. Elisa thinks that it's comical that I love to watch Family Guy. I like to watch things that are funny. I like to watch ridiculousness on MTV's channel. I like to watch funny things. I like to laugh. I don't gravitate towards horror films. I can sit through them. I don't white knuckle. I can sit through them and watch them. I can watch a drama with anybody else. But that's not, if given what I'd rather do, I'd rather watch a really good old episode of My Name is Earl, because I like to laugh. And I don't gravitate towards the negative. So for me, it would be easy for me to live in a world where all we got was positive information, because I am typically a joyful person.
Well, there's a distinction there between positive information, because I'm getting that watching documentaries, like on energy, the Living Matrix. I've watched a couple of times recently and really recommend it. Jim Oshman is going to be on the show in January, was in it. Marilyn Schlitz that was on recently is in it. It's information. It's new paradigm, evolutionary information. You're watching comedy. I yes. love comedy.
Yeah.
I used to love to watch Fawlty Towers with John Cleese.
I don't know that one. It's not. It's probably not sophomoric enough for me.
It was out of England. He was in Monty Python.
I just realized what time it is. We have to take a break. We have to take a quick commercial break. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take one quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to wrap up the interview. This is Trans Evolutionary Fitness Radio. You can learn more about Ken O'Neill. Reach out to him.
Fred's got a website, too.
Oh, let's plug that, too, real quick. What is Dr. Hatfield's website?
It's issaonline.edu.
Oh, well, I want to talk about that when we come back, actually. But you're one of the founders of ISSA. But if you want to send hate mail, send it to Ken. Go to transevolutionaryfitness.com to forward your hate mail to Ken. We'll be right back with more TEFR.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Just because your water is clear doesn't mean it's pure. You can't see the most harmful things in your water. Tap, bottle, it's all the same. Plasticizer, chlorine, fluoride. Today's water is horrible. The clearly filtered water bottle will purify up to 100 gallons of tap, bottle, river, or stream water, and it removes chlorine, fluoride, other harmful chemicals, and bacteria while saving you a load of money. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the clearly filtered banner ad and save 5% plus free shipping inside the USA. Do you want freakish muscle gains? Freak Maker Build from AAEFX. It's a scientifically engineered post-workout formula that combines Protolan, whey isolate, whey concentrate, milk isolate, casein and egg, quality protein sources with carbolin, free alkaline and medium chain triglycerides, a 2-to-1 carb to protein ratio to optimize post-training recovery and repair. Freak Maker Build delivers 58 grams of fast-absorbing carbolin to replenish glycogen stores and 1.5 grams of Cre-alkaline pH-buffered creatine monohydrate. Get Freak Maker Build today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AAEFX banner ad.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be. Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carve your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com. Enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm.
Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. Top of the hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Sarah Trainer to talk about how stigma may be actually driving obesity. Right now, we're talking with Dr. Fred Hatfield and my co-host, Ken O'Neill. It's been a very deep conversation. It's probably not going to stimulate a lot of people out there. Maybe you have to be at a certain junction of your life in order to think these things are important. Or maybe you just have to be hitting walls in your life that make you ask the question, you know, how do I solve some of these problems? But either way, really, really great discussion. Let's talk about ISSA just for a second. Is that okay, Ken? Oh, sorry, Ken. Hold on, Ken. I'm sorry. Wrong potentiometer. Sorry about that. Is it okay if we talk about ISSA for a second?
Yeah, by all means. When I was up to gain certification 10 years ago, I looked around and the only one that made any sense to me was ISSA, and it's continued to make sense because International Sports Sciences doesn't hold you to cookie-cutter programs. You learn principles and are granted all the freedom in the world to go creatively apply them in all sorts of ways.
You were the founder of ISSA, right, Fred?
Yes.
Co-founder. Okay, co-founder. So who was it? You and who else? And when did you?
Dr. Sal Aria.
Oh yeah, I've heard of him. Yeah, yeah.
And he was the chief chiropractic physician for the 1984 Olympic Games in L.A. But anyway, you know, he and I were close friends, and we got to talking one day about a TV program. Some guy was talking about training one of the Hollywood star women. Forgot who it was. And he was giving the worst information and the worst advice you could possibly imagine. And we decided something's got to be done about that. Well, long story short, we decided to start educating and certifying personal fitness trainers. And we were the first organization ever to do that. We started this whole thing of personal fitness training. And it's been a great ride. We're all, as of today, we are a fully accredited college, an institute of higher education, and we're the only ones who are out there. So I'm pretty happy about that. And we're growing and growing and growing, and we're completely in compliance with all of the federal guidelines and Title IV and all of those other things that make it almost impossible for the other organizations to come into compliance. So that's where we are today.
And we actually, ISSA sponsored this show back in 2008, I want to say. It was, there's a, somebody over there, I don't know if his last name is Bartram, is that right? Or Bart something?
I don't remember.
Yeah, but anyway, I know Joe Mealy, I want to say.
Yeah, Frank Mealy.
Frank Mealy, yeah, yeah. But they actually sponsored Superhuman Radio many, many years ago, back in 2008.
That's interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah, and you were on the show at that time, too. I'd have to go dig up the old show, but it was around 2008 that I actually had you on the show originally.
Doggone.
Yeah, so there you go. Anyway, Ken, where do you want to take this? We have a few minutes left in the show.
Well, you mentioned sponsors. I think it's a good time to say that for any of you out there that like what we're doing, we need sponsors. If you'll send me instead emails about potential sponsors, including yourself, I'm glad to get those. If you want information about the demographics, write to Carl.
Yeah. I'm going to be emailing you what you asked for a little while ago. What we want to do, so everybody knows, is we want to spin Trans Evolutionary Fitness Radio off to its own time slot once a week on the air by itself. And so that's why when Ken says we're looking for sponsors, we are. We're looking for people who feel that this message fits their message and that they would like to support the show's growth. And the show already is getting, if you look on iTunes, it's a very popular show already.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm going to be sending you all that stuff. I know you asked me for it weeks ago, but I am kind of like the tortoise right now, not the hare. So I get it done, but at my own pace. That's all. But anyway, I think this has really been a good discussion. It really is. And I, you know, personal growth is relegated to self-help today, and I think that's a mistake. Motivation is kind of like caffeine. You know, if you're one of those people who has to be motivated externally, then you need a cup of coffee every single day to get going. But if you're somebody who is looking for personal growth, that motivates from within. What would you say to that statement, guys?
Whoever you're right on the money.
Yeah,
it comes from within you, and it has nothing to do with ego. It has nothing to do with your past or your future. It has to do with being in the moment. That in itself ought to motivate anybody to be able to live for the moment and not worry about. The past is gone. You'll never reclaim it. It's never going to hurt you. Nothing can come of it. It's gone. So why worry about it? Why live in the past? Well, that's what the ego forces you to do.
Hmm. So, yeah, it's not the zone.
You know, motivation typically comes from somebody who can inspire. And that's the wrong word, because inspire means the spirit within. And so I always wonder.
Inspire means to breathe in. Expire means to breathe out.
Well, it also, from inspiration, from that word, espiritu, inspire means the spirit within, from the Latin word, the spirit within us. So I've always wondered why somebody would say, he inspires me or she inspires me, because it's almost, the proper word would be they expire me, because the spirit is coming out of them and into. I never understood why the word inspire and inspiration took the form that it did when you look at the root of the word and where it came from.
Because we have learned to interpret the meanings of words in relation to where we place authority. And we have, in our tradition, our culture, placed authority external to ourselves.
Uh-huh, exactly.
For centuries we had, you know, probably the worst thing going on for centuries was the Inquisition.
Yeah.
Then the Inquisition was replaced by scientism.
The AMA.
By scientism, I mean the evangelical, reductionistic, materialistic, atheistic cult of Richard Dawkins and other people that are pseudo-intellectuals.
Yeah.
Science has been evolving since the 1920s. These people haven't kept up with it. So, you know, you go to places like Quack Watch, you can read all sorts of ridiculous things. But the important thing in any kind of Gnostic orientation is becoming the author of your own life. Authority means author of. And what we're doing in the transformational journey, the evolutionary journal, is becoming the author of our own life. We're writing the text. We're not a subject in somebody else's drama.
Excellent.
And on that note, we have to pull the plug on the show. So let's go ahead and do some plugging again. Ken's website is transevolutionaryfitness.com. And if you are interested in becoming a sponsor specifically of this show, we will be spinning it off. So reach out to me at onair@superhumanradio.com. If you have any questions or you would like to work with Ken directly, you could reach him at his website. And of course, Dr. Fred Hatfield, you can learn more about, ISSA. If you're looking to become a personal trainer, they have nutritional certifications. They have personal training certifications. They have a multitude of certifications. If you want to expand yourself, and your offerings to your clients, go to issa.edu, right? Is that correct?
ISSAonline.edu.
Online.edu. and check that out. Fred, thanks for being on the show today.
Okay. You can also go to Amazon.com and check on Fred Hatfield and find a plethora of books to buy.
Yeah, I forgot about
there
that.
You
thank
go.
You. Thank you very, very much. And Ken, thank you very much for putting the show together today.
Thank you, Carl, and thanks for being on with us, Fred.
My pleasure.
Okay. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take one quick commercial break, and when we come back, we are going to pick it up on the other side, talking with Dr. Sarah Trainer about is the stigma of being obese actually driving the obesity epidemic. We're going to talk more about that. I have my own opinions. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high-quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest Bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
The brain plays the biggest role in strength and fatigue. The ergogenic effects of caffeine are a result of this fact. There's a new player that can give you greater confidence, clarity, and concentration that will translate to better performance in or out of the gym. Mindset from Haleo. Mindset was tested by the University of Tampa against caffeine and a placebo, and it outperformed them hands down. A stimulant-free pre-workout formula that's as effective as caffeine without the unwanted side effects. Get Mindset today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link in the Carl Recommends area. Mindset, the smart edge. The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. What role does stigma play in the current situation facing this nation and around the world as it relates to obesity? Does it play a role? We're going to talk more about that with my next guest, Dr. Sarah Trainer from Arizona State University, one of my favorite places, when I lived in Tempe. Welcome to the show, Dr. Trainer.
Thank
you, and thank you for having me on it.
Yeah, my pleasure. So, you know, there's a lot of discussion about this out there, but it's not necessarily from a clinical standpoint. We talk about people who unfairly ridicule obese people. There's even, to a great degree, it's considered bullying. I recall last year a news personality in a small town. We actually had the guy who wrote the emails to her on the show. We could not get her on the show. Bullying her because of her weight. This has taken on its own proportions now.
It certainly has. And I think it's something that sends, if you look at the online commentaries, anytime this issue comes up, people are so divided on it. It really gets at the root of what a lot of people think about what's attractive, but not just that, but what's personal versus what's open to public discussion and how do you judge a person?
Yeah.
And those are very fundamental questions that sort of wrap up in questions, in issues about weight. So it's very explosive.
Now, I see that you are actually an anthropology, correct?
I am an anthropologist, but I work quite a bit in public health settings and also in medical settings.
But now I think you have a unique perspective, actually. That's why I'm pointing that out. I'm a huge fan of evolutionary sciences, and we've had Dr. Daniel mm-hmm. Lieberman on the show, who wrote a brilliant book that I've read now two times, which is The Story of the Human Body. I often wonder if there is some evolutionary influence when we look at an obese person that's taking over, because there are certain triggers in us that harken back millions of years. We know that. And I'm wondering if when we see an obese person, why we feel the things we feel. Is it just from the cultural evolutionary perspective, or is there something else going on, more physiological? Any opinions on that?
Actually, I do. This reminds me of a debate which didn't really go anywhere because the other person was very convinced of their position. But I had someone who ran a yoga center call me up, and she was bringing up the same point of, is the revulsion many people in the U.S. today express about obese bodies something that's innate? And she cited some research that shows that three-year-old American children already will start showing stigmatizing behavior of obese bodies. And I, of course, would say that we cite the same studies to show that by the age of three, many children are already highly socialized to think a certain way. And in fact, if you look, it's much more difficult to do it today because along with seeing obesity rates go up worldwide, we've also seen a lot of the attitudes that we take for granted in the U.S. has spread around the world. But go back 20 years, 30 years, you see societies that really prized larger bodies.
Yes.
And not just, to use a terrible term, pleasingly plump. I hear that all the time in certain regions. But full, obese bodies. They were considered attractive, desirable. And so this is something that is very culturally constructed. But it's so fundamental to a lot of what we believe that it's very hard to see it as something that we've been socialized to think in that way since birth.
I think that I do agree with you here. I don't think there's some sort of evolutionary biological reason that we feel the way we do about obesity. I think it's culturally evolved. And as you mm-hmm. point out, I mean, we look at Ruben, right? He painted mm-hmm. women that by today's standards would be considered morbidly obese, and everybody mm-hmm. loved them. And if you look at primitive cultures, kings were obese. You know, their subjects weren't, but the kings were, because that implied both power, it implied resources, and so on and so forth. And we fast forward to today, and we look at obese people, and we think, slovenly, lazy, not capable, dumb. I mean, there was even a study published last year or the year before, I think, that showed that the brains of obese individuals function at a different rate, that they tend to have different let's say, attributes and so on, almost trying to bring it down to like, oh, see, you know, obese people are really not as smart or not as reactive and so on. And I say these things from you know, being a formerly morbidly obese individual, that my brain hasn't changed from the time that I was overweight to now, but my perspective on life has changed, yes. So I do agree with you. I think that these are culturally evolved. And I think that a three-year-old child is already getting messages from inside the home of what is good and what is bad.
They just
may not be able to verbalize it. But by the time they turn 4 and 5, they start verbalizing these things. And you have parents getting calls from school saying, hey, your child said something inappropriate today. You know, that was not innate. That was learned.
Yes. And ironically, at the same time, of course, by 3 or 4, we're beginning to realize that a lot of food preferences and eating patterns have also become, for lack of a better word, a bit hardwired in the brain. So in a larger environment, which is pretty much the entire U.S. today, that is, we call it obesogenic, fancy word for it's obesity promoting. So
right.
In a larger environment, our children are both getting, again, to use a lack of a better word, hardwired towards obesity stigma, but also in general, a pronounced preference for certain types of foods. And they aren't necessarily healthy foods. So it's one of the great ironies that we see today.
So, before we talk about how stigma may be affecting obesity, can you give me any parallels that we can all in the audience go, oh, wait a minute, you know, maybe she's right, where stigma actually promotes the either behavior or the condition that the person is being stigmatized for?
Easy one. I'm on a college campus. The central gym, not to put ASU on the spot because I think this is true of many campuses I've been to, but the central gym here, it is often referred to not lovingly by the students as a bit of a meat market. So you can imagine who does feel comfortable going to the gym and who does not.
Mm-hmm.
It really falls out along how people see themselves and their bodies. So if the central exercise-oriented facility on campus, which is full of really wonderful messages about health promotion and such, but if people who self-identify as larger don't want to go in there because they feel like they're being watched and ridiculed by peers, then that's one of the most obvious ways in which fat shaming backfires.
You know, and it's interesting because we've talked about this on the show numerous times. There is a gym chain now that has taken the opposite approach in identifying and stigmatizing individuals who are, let's just say, of a too fit or phenotype, where it's very obvious that this person works out regularly, and they have stigmatized them, and that's Planet Fitness. Where they actually have,
really?
Yeah. Well, Planet Fitness. We there's numerous stories we've talked about them on the show, and these are legitimate stories. They're not something that if you snope it, you find out, oh, this wasn't true. That where a person has been thrown out of a Planet Fitness for making other people feel uncomfortable because they were too muscular, too lean, or training too hard. Grunting is frowned upon in Planet Fitness. They actually have a button on the wall called, are you ready for this, a lunk, L-U-N-K, alarm. So if you're doing anything that qualifies you as a lunk and someone hits the button because they're being made to feel uncomfortable because of the intensity in which you're exercising or the degree of musculature that you possess and display, women have been thrown out for being pregnant in training because their bellies were showing and it made someone feel uncomfortable. They've been thrown out of Planet Fitness. So they're actually taking the opposite approach. They're taking this stigmatizing approach, but they're stigmatizing people who fill that other category, the other far end of the spectrum away from obesity. And that is too physically fit, too muscular, and so on. And they're throwing them out of the gym to make the other people feel more comfortable.
Well, that's interesting. I'm not familiar with that example. I know that some gyms have tossed around ideas of enforcing certain dress codes, which I see the pluses and the minuses to that. It mm-hmm. can be used to shame in other directions. But I hadn't heard that example of them coming down so hard on certain behaviors.
There was quite a few of them made the news, actually, some local newspapers. And we actually talked about the fact that if you had thrown somebody out of a gym for being a woman or being a mm-hmm. Jew or being Hispanic or any other condition, you would be eligible for a lawsuit, a civil rights lawsuit. But because the ultra fit, ultra strong are not protected as a class, religion or color of skin or gender, they are now by Planet Fitness being prejudiced against. And it's really a sad situation, but it's the opposite. But okay, so let's get back on track with the research paper. So we know that obese people are being ostracized today. They're being made fun of. They're being told that horrible things about themselves. How does that perpetuate them continuing to be obese? The average person would say, well, that should motivate them to lose the weight.
Well, I know, again, it's a sort of core idea of individual responsibility and the body saying something about the personality connected to the body that we sort of take for granted, but it's not as simple as we often assume. So that would be my first observation. And the second observation is that, yeah, this compulsion to fat shame, oh, if I just, pointed out a little more, in a little more detail how you're falling short, you're going to pull yourself together. But of course, we see that on the one hand, fat shaming tends to trigger exercise avoidance and comfort eating at the level of the person. But we also see that a lot of weight, when you look at the distribution of obesity in the U.S., one of the main risk factors for it is being lower socioeconomic status, so having fewer resources. And that's not necessarily something within an individual person's control either. So, yes, there is a layer of personal responsibility, but there's all these other things that are going on so that make the fat shaming tactic ineffective.
And I'm thinking about everything you said, and I do agree with you there. I don't think that ridiculing somebody because they can't read is going to make them run and want to be a better reader quickly.
Excellent comparison.
If anything, the shaming makes them become more antisocial and close themselves up and probably do behaviors that don't contribute to their ability to read better. They're not going to reach out and say, you're right, I can't read, I'm going to go read now. So I can see mm-hmm. where it doesn't help the cause, but I don't, and I agree with you. And I have to say that I've been harsh on this show in the past.
I knew about you have. Obesity. I looked it up.
Yeah, I've been harsh. You looked it up. Are there things on the internet about me?
Oh, just on your radio show,
okay.
In terms of previous podcasts. Don't
yeah,
worry.
I mean, I've been harsh, and I've always said, well, you know what? I can say this because I'm a card-carrying fat person. I used to be fat, and I can say these things. And I've been harsh, unfairly probably, because I believe that if some tough love would actually help the situation. And obviously my objective is really to inspire people to, if they are obese, to lose that body fat, because I understand mm-hmm. the world changes when you do, and not just mm-hmm. the outside world, but the inside world. Here's what I want to mm-hmm. do. I want to take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk more about this. We're talking with Dr. Sarah Trainer. We're talking about how the stigma of obesity is probably not helping anybody and could actually be perpetuating the obesity epidemic. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
A got superior hardcore peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best superior hardcore peptides.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
When you talk about recovery, one product has emerged as the established category killer, MassPro Synthogen, formulated by SHR's own BPPH answer man, Rob Regish. Synthogen works from the very first dose to help you bounce back fast. It fuels, it feeds, and flat out outperforms anything else on the market. Discover the power yourself by clicking the Synthogen link in the Carl Recommends tab on superhumanradio.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating. But you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
The 1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workout the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carved your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com and enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Sarah Trainer from one of my favorite places, ASU. We're talking about we're talking about how ridiculing and stigmatizing obesity is not solving the problem. And I get that. It's not solving the problem. Is it making the problem worse? Do you really think that's the case? Do you think that people, because, you know, secretly, I think obese people always think somebody's talking bad about them. At least I did. People, always, if I heard people laughing, I always assumed they were laughing at me. I lived a life in the shadows because I didn't want to come out and be seen. I never took my jacket off. Those things kind of create a self stigma, if you will, or you know, you're punishing yourself. But if I think other people are laughing at me, if I think is that really motivating me to eat more? Is that motivating? Is that causing me to continue this behavior that I don't even like myself?
Well, that's actually a really interesting point, the difference between self-stigma, believing that you are a morally poorer person because of your weight, external stigma where you're actually experiencing stigma, and then the perception that you're experiencing stigma whether you are or not.
Right.
So there are different tests to look at how those are impacting, and we see that all of them happen. And all of them trigger stress. And stress, unfortunately, going through a stress process, the flight or fight, on the one hand, does actually make you more likely to hang on to weight because it slows all sorts of
physiological
functioning.
Yeah.
But yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it also triggers emotional responses, and one of those for many many Americans is comfort eating. And it tends to be particular foods that you associate with comfort, and a lot of those go back to your childhood, and they're not always the healthiest foods. So, yes, there's different layers to how that impacts.
See, you know what? It just dawned on me how this is different than I was prepared to say, well, in other words, if somebody makes fun of you for being broke, you're going to be rich someday. That's a bad thing. And I was prepared to take that argument with you, but the reality is that nothing can be compared to this because of the biological and physiological effects of eating. We know that eating triggers some of the same brain regions that taking drugs do, you know, pleasure, reward, dopamine, and so on and so forth. So saying like, I was ridiculed because I was broke, and so then I became wealthy. Yeah, that's possible, because eating is a totally different paradigm.
It is. It's on the one hand, you need it for you have to eat.
Right.
Basic biological.
You can't do without it. It's not like alcohol where you go, okay, I was an alcoholic, I'm kicking it cold turkey myself, I'm never going to drink. You can't say, okay, I'm obese, I'm kicking it, I'm not going to eat anymore.
Exactly. And you also, it's also something that is, for most people, as an anthropologist, I get nervous saying anything's universal, but I would, in this case, say that eating as a social activity is a human universal that distinguishes us from most other animals because food ties you to other people. So
right.
There's all sorts of associations with it. It's both fundamental to our biology, but it's also so social. So
right.
How do you deal with that when it becomes all wrapped up in these other issues?
Yeah, no, I can see that. Interestingly enough, a Facebook share that got over 54,000 shares from a website called spotmegirl.com, which sounds to me like a fitness website, blogged about, is fit shaming the new fat shaming? And the young lady goes on to talk about the fact that, remember that girl who came on, the fit mom with her three kids, and hey, if I can
do
it, you can.
I do remember fit mom.
Okay. So, you know, she got a real big backlash out of that, and obviously. But in the blog post, she talks about that nowadays, shaming people for being fit, calling them narcissists, self-centered, or gross. One woman put up on the blog, I'm currently boycotting a radio station because one of the hosts called bodybuilders so incredibly gross. If you tweet that and replace fat with bodybuilding, it would cause an uproar, but there's nobody out there to protect us fit people. And that kind of goes back to the whole discussion we had at the beginning of the show about Planet Fitness, kicking people out that fit a certain phenotype. That's different.
I would say two things to that. One, I have seen the phenomenon of fit shaming, but it doesn't come close to the scale and the scope of fat shaming.
Yeah, I agree.
In the U.S. It doesn't even come close. And I also think some of the fit shaming, you can, as a man, correct me if you feel like your experience doesn't fit this, but based on the little data I've seen and then all the anecdotal, a lot of the fit shaming, like the fit mom, there's an implication that she's, for example, working out when she should be with her kids. So there's a gendered component to some of the fit shaming that comes down a little more heavily on women in many instances, at least so far as I've noted.
Well, I could look at the obese person and say, well, you're eating when you should be with your kids. I mean, see,
yeah,
I don't buy
but
that.
But it often comes down again. So there's sort of, but again, the people mix up their motivations in terms of what they're trying to shame someone for.
I think really the issue here is this. Overall, we don't have a heavy person doing a placard on Facebook with pictures of their child and said, hey, look at this. I put on 100 pounds while I took care of these kids. You can't do that. Like, you know, I guess the reality is that obese people aren't putting obesity in our face. They're not saying, hey, you should be obese too. There are the rare occasions, but they're rare, you know, but the fit person going, ha ha ha, look, I look fit. You could do this too if you had the willpower I have. You know, that's like the person who's made $1 million and said, hey, you can make $1 million too if you were smart like me. That's insulting.
And I think that accounts for a lot of the backlash.
Yeah,
rather
yeah.
than this idea of revulsion against the fit body, which the fat body inspires, I think it's a backlash of people feeling like they've been called out. Oh, they're fit and they're putting it in my face. I'm going to react.
So
whether that's correct or not.
Well, I want to do this. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to ask you what the right thing to do is, because there's another aspect of this. And I had an Israeli researcher on the show either early this year or end of last year. And we really got into it. But the Israelis like that. Mm-hmm. They love. In fact, she loved it that I was antagonistic with it, because that's how they like to do things. They don't. If you don't argue with an Israeli, they don't respect you. They think that you're a pushover. And so, and I've been to Israel plenty of times, so I know that. But anyway, but I want to talk about this from another standpoint, economic impact, because there is some legitimacy to this discussion that obesity is playing a role in the healthcare epidemic. So what's the right way, if we even are supposed to care for, you know, if it takes a village type of an attitude, what's the right way for us to address obesity in the nation to actually have a beneficial effect instead of just insulting people and thinking that's going to change? It's like a father who, you know, smacks his son, you know, at everything he does, thinking that that's going to make him stop doing it. And it doesn't. It breaks their willpower, breaks their self-esteem, it breaks them down as a person. So let's do this. Take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll pick it up on the other side with Dr. Sarah Trainer. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest high protein potato chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
You've already heard the hundreds of testimonials about how well the AgeForce Fat Burner Patch works. Now it's even better. AgeForce has added the powerful appetite suppressor, Hoodia. So now, while your body's in high gear burning fat, you'll have an easier time sticking to your diet. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AgeForce banner ad today to get a buy one, get one free for a limited time. What do you have to lose other than body fat?
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
The brain plays the biggest role in strength and fatigue. The ergogenic effects of caffeine are a result of this fact. There's a new player that can give you greater confidence, clarity, and concentration that will translate to better performance in or out of the gym. Mindset from Haleo. Mindset was tested by the University of Tampa against caffeine and a placebo, and it outperformed them hands down. A stimulant-free pre-workout formula that's as effective as caffeine without the unwanted side effects. Get Mindset today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link in the Carl Recommends area. Mindset, the smart edge.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise With Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Suits when the park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Sarah Trainer from Arizona State University. You know, there was a placard that went around Facebook not too long ago that had a really, really, I guess, obese guy. I don't know. What's the politically correct word to use, Dr. Trainer? Can I say fat?
That's actually an interesting question. We haven't agreed on one.
I know.
People who are
we have to say
activism community actually use the word fat.
They do.
Consciously. They do. But it doesn't mean they... that they want it used everywhere by everyone.
Oh, my African-American listeners will relate to this one, that within the African-American community, they can use the N-word amongst each other, but if someone else does, it's offensive. So I can't say the F-word, but if I still was 330 pounds, then I would have been able to say it. So let's just say this. There was a placard that went around the internet with a very large Caucasian guy on one side and Channing Tatum on the other side, and it said, this is sexy, this is not, real men have curves. So clearly those of girth are fighting back, and they're saying, look. And I remember, interestingly enough, a comedian who I love named Monique, who went back in the day, came out and said that she was happy to be fat. Oh, I said it. I'm going to get emails now from the FAACP. She said, look, I like being fat. And now she says, I was lying. I was pain. And I can vouch for that. You know, there's something that people have to use sometimes. That's a psychological defense mechanism called cognitive dissonance. It's like, if you didn't get the job, you tell your friends, well, I really didn't want to work there anyway. And when you're really, really overweight, you tell people, nah, I love it. I love, you know, being big. I'm a big lover. There's more of me to love. But secretly, deep down inside, I didn't like being that way. I was that way when I was very young, too. In fact, when all the kids in my school were on the school bus and they were all talking about who had a boyfriend and who had a girlfriend, this must have been around fifth or sixth grade. And so I'll never forget it. Millie Torres looked at me and said, Carl, do you have a girlfriend? I said, yeah. And the prettiest girl in our class at that time was a girl named Maria Barboza. And I said, yeah, Maria Barboza. And they all looked at me like, really? She's your girlfriend? I was like, yeah. Well, the next day I came to school, Maria was crying. She said, how could you tell people that you were my boyfriend? Because I was this fat, I could say it, I was this really fat kid. And so I know what it feels like to be ashamed to be that weight. And I know what it feels like when you lose the weight and you find yourself to feel good. So how do we inspire? How do we help people who are struggling with that secret break out and not emotionally damage them and force them to continue this type of situation?
Well, I think it's really difficult because both obesity and obesity stigma are not simple problems. On the one hand, obesity isn't responsible necessarily, especially simple, you know, overweight, going off of a BMI category, overweight and sort of lower levels of obesity aren't responsible for someone feeling depressed. It's being in a context where you're constantly being, as you were, stigmatized and humiliated. On the other hand, we also have not seen the rates of obesity up until a third of our population is currently obese, and that is a dramatic change, as you know, over the last half century. And as a country, we haven't really come up with cohesive ways to deal with that either. So we're not dealing with obesity stigma and the impact that's having on people, but we also haven't handled obesity itself very well. And you mentioned before the break the impact on healthcare of that as well.
And it's a big deal. I mean, it's really important. I mean, people are going to say this is an unfair comparison or analogy, but it's the one that comes to my feeble brain quickest. But if we had a large percentage of this nation that were hooked on a drug like heroin, we would be in a hurry to address it. The problem with obesity is that it's not a group of illegal drug lords that are selling the heroin. It's the big companies that literally make up the infrastructure, fabric, and support this government that is selling foods that we know, you know, are at the root cause of obesity. So, I've said this on the show numerous times, you know, the connection between industry and government is like that of conjoined twins who share a heart. You have to make a decision which one is going to die. And government is not going to die, but government can't survive without industry because they pave the roads. They generate the money. Government doesn't make any money. Government gets a share of what is generated and allocates it. So it's really hard to address this discussion, frankly. And without the mainstream media's participation, and they're not going to participate and pee in their own proverbial Cheerios.
That's quite an image. Well, I think have you ever read something by Marion Nestle, not related to the Nestle company?
Yeah, no, I know. She's been on my show. Yeah, she's great. She's been on my show.
Well,
yeah.
She's cool. She's awesome, and she has written a lot about this. Also, you're in Kentucky.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes. Louisville.
One of my favorite anthropologists who does nutritional anthro, she's since retired, Deborah Crooks, did an entire study looking at grade schools and the use of, well, basically fast processed foods, having soft drinks widely available, having, candy machines and all of the rest of it. But they were actually, the schools were in a, between a rock and a hard place because on the one hand they were letting the kids eat crap, but on the other hand they were paying for educational programs through those contracts
right,
with companies.
Right.
So as you said, it's a very difficult position to be in many of these institutional settings because it's so hard to change all of those different relationships and the way we think about
but see,
food and
food. And the free market system works. A lot of people hate to hear that, but it really does work. People can change it, right? So we see this already with companies too big to fail, like McDonald's. McDonald's is trying a transparency program. They're trying to change it because people their sales have plummeted, and rightfully so. And as a result of that, they're scurrying, and they're going, oh, my God, We have to sell people what they want now instead of what we want. That's the answer. People vote with their dollars. But, excuse me, the problem is the mainstream media carries a very, very big message. In fact, I've been looking for someone to come on this show that could quantitatively and qualitatively discuss the impact that the mainstream media has had directly on disease and the promotion of chronic illness, because they have. Because they pander to the lowest common denominator. They take press releases on studies and take little excerpts out of it that have exactly the opposite meaning than the authors had intended, and put that on the air, and people run to it, and then like sheep being culled by the sheep herding dogs, move to the left, move to the right, move to the left. Oh, today fish oil is good, tomorrow's fish oil is bad. Today fat is bad, tomorrow's fat. And the mainstream media is at the root of this healthcare problem today. I say that with all conviction, because they carry the misinformation that people react to on a day-to-day basis.
Well, as my family tells me that as an anthropologist, I'm really annoying because I always say in response to almost anything, well, it's more complicated than that. So I'm going to play that card right now and say that, yes, the media, I think of the media more in terms of perpetuating stigma and unrealistic ideas about beauty and body and stressing people out further.
Yes.
But they certainly choose what they do and do not report about. But at the root, of course, we're a species that is prone to putting on weight, and more than almost any other species you can come up with in our close family tree. And we're also a species that responds in certain ways to our environment and the foods available. And this sea change towards more and more sedentary living and fewer opportunities where it's easy and you don't have a choice in terms of maintaining a basic activity level, and then just the crappy food options that are so easily and casually available. Media is definitely a factor in that, but those are the big things that I think about. And it's one of the reasons why anyone who really works with me here, and I hear the music coming on, but a lot of my colleagues here, we think in terms of how do we do policy change? How do we affect policy change in terms of community change? Actual structural changes in the way cities are laid out, for example, so that people have to walk a certain way.
Yeah, you're right. That's why I did a blog post so many years ago when everybody was postulating the Mediterranean diet and why the French eat butter and drink wine and they don't have heart disease. And I said, it's not the diet. It's the fact that they walk to and from the restaurant. And that's coming out to be true now.
Yeah,
we have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to give you a chance to summarize what you hope people take away from your research. We're talking with Dr. Sarah Trainer. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carve your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com. Enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. AgeForce introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Do you want freakish muscle gains? Freak Maker Build from AAEFX is a scientifically engineered post-workout formula that combines protolan, whey isolate, whey concentrate, milk isolate, casein and egg, quality protein sources with carbolin, free alkaline and medium chain triglycerides, a 2-to-1 carb to protein ratio to optimize post-training recovery and repair. Freakmaker Build delivers 58 grams of fast-absorbing carbolin to replenish glycogen stores and 1.5 grams of Cre-alkaline pH-buffered creatine monohydrate. Get Freakmaker Build today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AAEFX banner ad.
When you talk about recovery, one product has emerged as the established category killer, MassPro Synthogen, formulated by SHR's own BPPH answer man, Rob Regish. Synthogen works from the very first dose to help you bounce back fast. It fuels, it feeds, and flat out outperforms anything else on the market. Discover the power yourself by clicking the Synthogen link in the Carl Recommends tab on superhumanradio.com. MassPro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. 861-4936, wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
I will never, ever, ever use shaming on this show to try to motivate a person not to be larger than they are. I've done it in the past, and I feel bad about it. I really do. But I thought that it was the right thing to do. I called it tough love. And maybe, you know what, not all tough love is good. So, what do you hope people take away from this research, Dr. Trainer?
And let me preface this by saying that I know some people who are listening are going to disagree with me because I read the comment posts after articles that are making these arguments. And obviously they're free to do so. But if I had any takeaway, it would be that that a lot of your ingrained assumptions about the way you think about larger bodies are very, very much the result of particular biases that you've been exposed to your whole life. They're not necessarily innate. That whatever you think about the morality of fat shaming, it's not effective. It just stresses people out and makes them less likely to be healthy. And it doesn't take into account the fact that a third of the population is now obese, and that's not a result of us all suddenly becoming lazier in the last 20 years. It's a result of larger structural factors that really need to be changed before we see that impact on people and their health.
I would agree with that. I mean, I would not shame someone for being in a low socioeconomic status, because there are some people out there that really don't have available to them some of the resources that are prerequisites to be able to elevate yourself out of poverty. Now, I would also not use the rare occasions to humiliate somebody. I may use them as an example, say, well, you know, somebody came to me and said, you know, I come from a broken home. we were on food stamps, and I'd say, you know, well, so-and-so, like, to try to inspire them to see past those obstacles and maybe find a way to achieve more than they feel at that moment. But I wouldn't say to them, you're poor, you're stupid,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that really is what it comes down to, what we're talking about here. We're not talking about somebody who says, comes to the show and says, I want to lose this weight, help me. And you want to help them. That's one thing. And if you say to somebody, you know, I don't know if you're ready to, but when you're ready, you know, if you come to a point where you want to lose this weight, I'd like to help you. That's a kind gesture. It's not like walking up to somebody and go, oh my God, you're so fat. Don't you hate it?
Mm-hmm.
That's rude. That's like going to a person who's a double amputee and going, oh God, you have no legs. That sucks, doesn't it?
Which
you wouldn't do that.
Both of those things.
Yeah. So I think the takeaway is this. For those people out there who are using vitriol and hate against people who are of girth, you're doing it because you're a hateful person. Don't try to mask it in. You're trying to help them. Would you agree
or
with that?
You haven't stopped it. Maybe not hateful person, but you're someone who hasn't stopped to think about why you're reacting the way you are.
Why are we reacting
you're
the way
we
are?
You're making a bunch of connections in your head about someone's personal worth based on your assessment of the way they look.
I remember back in the day when I was a kid, you know, people who were homophobic, it was said that, oh, they were homophobic because they were afraid that they had homosexual tendencies and they weren't comfortable with that, which is maybe true and maybe not on a case-by-case basis. But why do you have any crystallized opinions of why we feel the way we do when we see an obese person?
Again, I would say that if you look at the way we've reacted to obese bodies that we now would call obese in history, people reacted differently.
But why today?
They
but why
still
today?
Do in different cultures. So I think it's this ingrained cultural idea of what a bigger body says about a person, and all these associations we make with lazy and, you said it yourself, associations with lazy and stupid and out of control, disgusting, that are very much, they're recent, they're products of our particular sociocultural climate, and they're also, of course, to be fair, the product of the fact that we have more people who are larger, so there's and it has become a topic of hot debate across all spheres in the U.S. What do we do about our obesity epidemic, as the alarmists like to call it, which is, it isn't. It has gone up exponentially.
As a species, don't we love to divide? Don't we love to, when you think about it, I mean, we love to divide and group and enclave as a species. We don't necessarily like to blend easily?
Well, let me preface this by saying I got out of evolutionary psychology because I'm never quite sure where the parameters are, and it makes me nervous to talk about things being innate. But that said, yes, we do seem to be a species that likes to divide. And we do a lot of the ways we make categories in our heads, because we're very visual, we make a lot of them based on visual cues and the way people look and the way they present and the way they act.
Yeah. Interesting. Really, really interesting. It's obviously a topic that's not going to go away quickly. I want to thank you very much for coming on the show, first of all.
And thank you for having me.
Your thoughtfulness in the whole process. You know, your caution to speak in absolute terms, because that's part of the problem with science today. Everybody kind of digs their heels in and they find out that they're buried in the sand as things progress on and they can't change their positions. And I hope that really my objective on the show is to give people that want information that's not carried by the mainstream media, information that we think today is based in sound science, to help them live longer, stronger, healthier lives. And if part of that is a weight loss for you, then fine. I mean, according to BMI, I'm obese. I'm a 30.
I wondered, because I've seen a picture of you, and given BMI doesn't distinguish between muscle and fat, which is one of the problems with it, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I'm a 30. I'm officially an obese person. 25, above 25, you're in trouble. 30, you're like, uh-oh. And and I remember when I had to answer some questions for a new life insurance policy. I felt compelled to explain to the woman. She said, you know, oh, your BMI is 30. I said, yeah, but I'm probably only about, 12 to 13% body fat. I'm very muscular. And she didn't even care. She was like, well, your BMI is 30. And I felt like, oh, yeah. Wow, it's like she thinks I'm obese and I'm not.
And that's a very interesting point. I think one of the main, not to leave you with yet another message, but one of the main areas we're going to see some pronounced inequalities develop in the near future is insurance policy.
Yeah, sure.
Along these lines.
Yeah.
And they are not going to be sensitive to individual health differences.
No.
They're going to be exactly what you experience, which is, oh, your BMI is this. Well, then here's what's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks so much, Dr. Trainer.
Absolutely. I hope you have a wonderful day.
Yes, and you've reformed me. I am going to be much more sensitive. No, I'm serious. I'm going to be much more sensitive with my messages. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, so there you have it. Another show in the can. I want to thank Ken O'Neill for Trans Evolutionary Fitness Radio. His website is transevolutionaryfitness.com. If you're interested in learning about sponsoring that show so we can spin it off, send me an email at onair@superhumanradio.com. Thanks to Fred Hatfield, one of the co-founders of ISSA. Their website is issaonline.edu. And then, of course, thanks to Dr. Sarah Trainer, who is not promoting anything material other than the science and the message that shaming obese people is not making the situation better. So why do it? And she is at Arizona State University. And thanks to you for listening today, because today's Thursday and tomorrow's Friday, which means I will be in the studio with the lovely and talented Elisa Profumo for Casual Friday. So please tune in then, and we'll see you tomorrow. Benefit.